They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Joining me today on the Commons is an old friend, Jan Bergman, all the way from Florida. Jan, you've been a busy man, and you've got some new legislation enacted. Thank you, first of all, for joining us. And I want to get to the new legislation, but I also want to say first off that you are the president, CEO, head honcho, the founder, the builder, the amazing man who does Cyber Citizens for Justice, right?
Well, thank you. Yes, thank you for having me. And yeah, in a way, but you know, CCFJ is teamwork. You know, you have to have a team in order to work efficiently, and we have a good team, and that it works. And the new bill, after long fights, is proof that it works in the end. Not always, but you have to be patient sometimes.
So first of all, before we move on, let's talk about the website where people can go, because you have a ton of good information on the website. So give us the web address.
The website, www.ccfj.net, Caesar, Frank, and Joe.net. So that's where you find all the information we will be talking about.
Perfect. So now let's get to legislation. We need laws to prevent, well, I'm not going to say it on the air, but we need laws to make sure that the homeowners are protected. And you've been working hard to get some legislation passed. Tell us about it.
Well, we got this year the what is called the Condo Crime Bill passed, actually named that way by the attorney who were seriously opposing it. They screamed bloody murder when this bill was initially filed, and they still scream bloody murder. And the first thing after the governor signed it into law, they were teaching their boards, you know, the ones signing their paycheck, how to circumvent the provisions of the new bill. Great deal, right?
How to circumvent them?
Yes. That's what they teach them, you know, instead of how to follow the law. No, they're teaching them how to circumvent the law.
So the bill, there are a lot of components to the bill, and we'll get to them, but the bill basically says you cannot commit a crime, and if you do, you will be prosecuted, right?
That's more or less what it says, and that's why they named it the Condo Crime Bill.
And so now they're teaching them how to circumvent the provisions,
yes,
of this bill to protect the,
yes,
homeowners?
Yes, they do. And even the Florida Bar sends out a memorandum saying, you know, you can do this, and this doesn't mean this, and you can interpret it this way, and blah, 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 you know. The whole nine yards. The problem is many of these so-called community association institute attorneys are not there to protect and give legal advice to the people living in these communities. They're there to protect some board members who sign their paycheck and are often willing to circumvent the law and protect board members who clearly violate the law using the money of the owners who actually get the shaft and who pay the bill.
So is there a provision in this bill that would go after, criminalize this kind of advice from the attorneys? Because you know what? We need to start holding the attorneys accountable for their advice.
Well, it's not. It goes against officers, directors, and managers. The attorneys are off limits, obviously, because a majority of the people in the legislature are attorneys. And, you know, do I need to say more?
Yeah, we need to drain the swamp, Jan. It's a big swamp out there.
Why? Especially here in Florida. And you have a lot of alligators in there, and that will not change.
So we have to eliminate the alligators as well.
Yeah, well, but the attorneys are most unhappy about one provision of the bill. They are no longer allowed to represent management firm and association at the same time. They have to change them. They have to make up their mind. Either they can represent the management firm or they can represent the association, but they can't represent both anymore. And that was one of the provisions they fought very hard and didn't succeed.
So they want to
Let's face it. This year in Tallahassee, the Community Association Institute and their attorneys and managers got their butts kicked in the meaning of the word.
So attorneys were going into court and sitting in the middle because they were representing the association on one hand and the managers on the other hand, and they're arguing their own arguments? Because that's the only way I see it happening, right? It's like, no, you didn't say that.
You know, you had cases here where actually, you know, let's face it, you know, an association is a business and a serious business. The problem, most of the board members are not business people. So they fall for every trick of these so-called service providers. And quite a few of them signed contracts saying that the management company will be legally protected by the association paying the legal bills in case the association gets sued. The management firm gets sued. So we had cases where the association would wanted to go after the management company, and the management company sent the legal bills to the association. You know, that's how stupid the whole system is.
And we've been letting this go on for how long?
This went on forever. You know, we already complained about that during the HOA task force in 2003, 2004.
And nothing was done about it.
No. You know, in my opinion, this bill came to pass because the Miami-Dade state attorney, Catherine Rundle, created a grand jury report. You know, she put a grand jury together and they talked condo law and condo problems, and they had a lot of testimony. And they wrote a devastating grand jury report. I mean, it really crucified anybody from the DBPI, which is a regulating agency for condos here in Florida, to law enforcement, to the division of condominiums and management firms and law firms, you name it. I mean, they were all crucified. And that finally caused some legislators, some, let's say, influential Republican legislators, to file a bill, to sponsor a bill, and despite being fought severely by these attorneys in Tallahassee, they passed a void majority of the bill, much to the dismay of the attorneys.
And it's been signed by the governor, and has it taken effect already, or when does it take effect?
It has taken effect on July 1st. The problem we're dealing with is that now the law enforcement agencies don't know about the new law. And when you come and file a report saying, well, you know, our treasurer embezzled $80,000, they will tell you, well, what new law are you talking about? Can't take a report about a law I don't even know. So the next step is to educate the law enforcement officers dealing with these things.
When was
Remember,
this?
we did that in, I think it was in 2008, you know, when Julio Robina passed his bills, and we had education courses for law enforcement officers, but that was only for Miami and Broward County down there.
Yeah.
You know, so now the law is statewide, and hopefully it works. I tell you one thing. It's a good step in the right direction, but it sure doesn't solve all the problems.
And you can't solve all the problems. You and I have talked about this. You know,
right.
It's not going to solve the problems.
And we will see how serious the law enforcement agencies will be in following the new law. I mean, there was last week in Miami was a big town hall meeting. Present were the sponsors of the bill. Two reporters from Spanish-speaking TV and newspaper, and a whole bunch of very enthusiastic and angry condo owners. I mean, they let it have it. And the state attorney, Catherine Rundle, was there, and she was very much thanked for starting all this. And there were law enforcement agencies. You know, Miami has a lot of, you know, little city here and little city there. We all always think it's Miami. No, it's not. You know, there are 20 little cities who have all their own police departments and so on.
Oh, really?
And quite a few of them were there and promised they would do their best to enforce the law. Well, let's see. You know, I'm doing this now 17 years. Believe me, I've heard promises broken 2 minutes after they were made. You know, so I'm a little skeptical, but we will see. You know, positive thinking is the name of the game here.
Yeah, I've been doing it a little bit longer than that. The show is 17 years old, so I've seen it for years.
Yeah.
And I've seen what CAI has done, and I've seen what their lobbyists have done, and I've seen when you do get some good legislation passed that would actually protect the homeowners and their assets, that the next year they come in and they tweak it because they're all attorneys, and they know exactly how to move the punctuation marks to change the entire meaning of the whole bill.
Right. You know, you have many homeowners and condo owners who think, oh, yeah, but the Community Association Institute, they try their best, you know, they want to help us, and, you know, this whole blah, blah, blah. You know, I wish they would be in Tallahassee when these bills are discussed, and they would see how the CAI, Community Association Institute, fights these owner-friendly bills.
Yeah. Oh,
I hope they would change their minds then. But some of them still don't understand and they don't get the message.
Well, quite often some of the homeowners are actually fighting for legislation that would strip them of more, you know, more rights and more assets, and handing it over to CAI. And they say, well, it must be good. Nobody's arguing against it. Hello. You know, wake up, guys. You know, if you suggest something and the whole world's on your doorsteps screaming and yelling, you know you've got something. But when it's you're there and nothing happens, and you know, it's
well,
not
you know, no matter what bill you try to pass, you will always have opposition. There's no question. And if there is no opposition, then you know your bill somewhere stinks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And people will say to me, oh, but Sue, you don't know what you're talking about. Nobody. Everybody loves my bill.
And yeah, right, good. then you know you should quickly pull it and start something else.
I go, but guys, and these are homeowners. These are homeowners who don't know what the hell they're doing. And I go, you don't want that. And they go,
yeah,
oh,
but
yeah.
You know, you have to understand, there is no HOA or condo 101 in college or whatever. These people, especially here in Florida, they lived all their life somewhere in a house that was not in part of any kind of association or whatsoever. So now they suddenly come here and they're being told, oh, you know, associations are so good for your property values and yes, they're good for peaceful living and things like that. You know, in all honesty, this system has created more lawsuits than anything else. This is where a whole industry is living off, from the money of these owners who had hoped to have a peaceful living,
and
which they don't have. You know how often I have talked with people who are elderly and who will say, you know, before I moved to Florida, I never had any dealings with a court or an attorney or whatsoever. Now I'm having weekly meetings with them.
Speaking
you know,
of elderly...
What does it tell you? That the system plainly doesn't work. It only works for the service providers who use these associations as their cash cows, period.
I totally, completely, 100% agree with you. And you're talking about property values. Have you ever, have you heard of what happened to Larry Murphy, the guy who had the little flag in his planter in Florida?
Yeah, right.
The last I heard, they were foreclosing because they'd fined him into oblivion. And I don't know if he lost his house. That's protecting their property values, right? He put one little flag in a planter on his front porch.
See, right, and see what, but what people don't understand is that their homes, which they think, oh, they own and it's deeded to them, their homes are actually collateral for any kind of debts the association incurs. You know, they don't understand that.
I know.
You know, I get calls here from people, oh, you know, I'm late with $200 and they want to foreclose on my home. You know, they said there's next week they auction off my house. Can they do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's how blue-eyed many people are.
Yeah.
You know, they move into these communities without knowing what they're getting into. And then they don't even feel like getting educated. You know, and then they're suddenly facing real problems and don't know how to deal with it. And you know, the sad part is, even if they're right legally, they don't have the money to fight for their rights because they don't have the money to pay an attorney to fight for them. Because a simple record request lawsuit may cost you $5,000-$10,000, if you're lucky.
It's ridiculous.
Right, and you know, I talked yesterday with a lady who is in foreclosure, and you know, the initial amount was $250. You know, in the meanwhile, it's $3,500, all legal fees and interest and late fees, right?
Yeah.
And the issue is, she says, yeah, but can they do that? And yes, they can. And, you know, see, we all know that fining in association is actually constitutional, as two Supreme Courts of two states already found.
Yeah, but you know what they said? You know what they said, Virginia being one of them? The initial lawsuit was in Virginia. And what the... And it, we've never been able to get it back to the Virginia Supreme Court. But what CAI has done and has convinced the legislators to do is that if you agree to it, you can give up your constitutional rights. So what they're doing is they're putting that in the governing documents. And people are agreeing. So you signed away, you agreed to give up your constitutional rights.
Yeah, but see, this is only possible in this country.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
In Germany, you couldn't sign away your constitutional rights. You know, the Constitution is above contract law, and that's the way it should be here as well.
I agree.
You know, our Constitution is our Constitution, And our founding fathers would turn in their graves if they would see what is being done with their constitution.
I know,
that's what people don't understand.
I totally 100% agree with you. I do not understand people who willingly, in fact, in my association right now, they want to be able to fine for something, so they've got an amendment floating around, please sign the amendment, give us permission to fine you. And the stupid people go, oh, okay, we need that. We have to have that. How damn dumb and how stupid can people be?
These same people will scream bloody murder if out of this amendment comes a big lawsuit which goes to appeals court, and in the end creates a $500,000 legal bill, as normally happens in appeals court cases, and the association has to pay for it. Because guess what? The owners will pay for it.
Yeah.
And if the association is the plaintiff, there is no insurance or whatever, they will pay the whole bill. Period. And there is no, oh, then we quickly declare bankruptcy. No. Their houses, their collateral, and you pay for it. You have the means to collect the money. You can't just say, oh, we're declaring bankruptcy and get out of it. You know, this is not a credit card debt. You know, and the people have to understand that a crime is a crime. In an association or not, it doesn't matter where you embezzle the money. It is a crime. And if you're taking kickbacks, you know, you more or less are defrauding your neighbors, because you take the money, you take the advantage of it, and your neighbors will pay for the damages. And that is why this should be a crime. And the new bill, for example, goes after the people who knowingly and willfully destroy the records, which has happened many times, because our courts, in their infinite wisdom, said, oh, even if the law says you have to keep the records 7 years, if the association doesn't have the records, they can't give it to you, so you're wrong demanding them. That's how stupid we see court rulings.
We had, and I think I told you about this, there was a story that came out of Texas a number of years ago, and some guy was complaining because everybody in the association was doing what everybody in the association was supposed to do. They were paying their assessments. However, the money was not being used to maintain the properties, which just consisted of a little grass and a swimming pool. The swimming pool was green and slimy. It was not clean, so nobody could use it. So they kept asking the board, why is it that you're not cleaning the pool? Why can't we use the pool? He kept saying, we don't have any money. Are people in arrears on their assessments? No, everybody's paid up. Where's the money? We don't have the money. Can I see the ledgers? I want to look at the books and records. I'm sorry, we've lost them. We don't have them. So this guy just kept badgering the attorney general. We want to see the books and records. This is what's happening. Finally, the attorney general asked the association to turn over the books and records. And they said, we don't have them. We lost them. They're gone. We don't know where they are. So he went to, and he can do that, he went to the bank and he said, I want a copy of all of the transactions. And what they discovered was the board members were depositing the checks that they were collecting from the homeowners, and they were writing checks to cover their own businesses. And that's how they ended up getting caught. But the thing is, you have to have the government. I mean, they mandate associations, and they wash their hands of the whole thing and say, okay, guys, guess what? You agreed. It's your problem. We don't want to hear about it. There's something so fundamentally wrong with that.
Sure, because, you know, the law says you have to have the records for 7 years. Here in Florida. That's fine and dandy. But, you know, then we had a case where a condo was sued for not providing the records as requested by law. And they told the arbitrator, oh, sorry, you know, all our records were destroyed during the last hurricane. You know, guess what? There was no hurricane since the documents were created and the record demand. So there could have been no hurricane. But guess what? The arbitrator went for it and said, well, see, that's the problem. They don't have the records. They can't give it to you. You know,
this is insane. You think
these people are not playing with a full deck.
They're not. They're not. I mean, the BS that goes on in these things is just unbelievable.
Yeah, but see, here is where I really have a problem with. That this happens all the time. And it happens because board members are being told by their attorneys, oh, don't worry, if you violate the law, we get you out of it. Nothing will happen to you. You're indemnified. You can do anything you ever want, so do it and you'll be fine. You know, I think it is the attorney's job to tell them, look, this is the law, and what you're doing is breaking the law, is violating the law, and you shouldn't do it. Instead of telling them, oh, don't you worry, you know, here's a way to circumvent it. You know, that's what you should do, and you can ignore the guy's record request all the way. You know, just pay me my bill, and you can do whatever you want.
They're generating,
that's wrong.
They're generating more business for themselves. It's a conflict of
right.
interest. Because they're going to end up representing them, and that's when they're going to start piling up the fees and just enriching themselves.
Well, sure, nobody is doing anything about it. You know, it's business as usual. It can be done, and that's fine. You know. And then when you complain, you've been told, well, we do it since many years. It's always done this way. So what's wrong with it?
I know. Don't you love that one? We've always done it this way. What's the problem?
Yeah, well, I always say, look, that's well, what the bank robber said. You know, he gets caught the 10th time he's robbing a bank. He says, why are you prosecuting me now? I robbed 9 banks before and nobody did anything about it, you know?
That's
the same stupidity. Excuse me.
And that's absolutely, you know? Yeah, no, I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. It's just insane. It's sheer and utter insanity.
Yeah, you know, we had a case here. You know, a board president embezzled more than $600,000, right? Provable, on record, no question asked, right? Okay, here we go. You know, state attorney's office. You know, oh, no, we can't prosecute that. That's a civil matter. You signed a contract, you know? Well, I don't think the contract says that the board president is allowed to embezzle $600,000. But anyway, so the board president changed it over state lines, you know.
Huh?
Fine. So they went to the FBI. Guess what they told them? Huh, you should have waited until she embezzled $1 million because we're not prosecuting anything under $1 million.
You're kidding.
No, that's the fact. It's a case here from Florida.
You're kidding.
That's how life works. You know, and then you're being told, you know, these associations are really improving your property values.
Oh, they're protecting them.
Yeah, they're protecting the bad guys, excuse me.
Your bill, the bill that you're talking about, 1237, House Bill 1237, has a lot of moving parts in it. And one of the things here is foreclosures for associations lien. And it says board member, manager, or management company may not purchase a unit at a foreclosure sale resulting from the association's foreclosure of its lien for unpaid assessments or take title by deed in lieu of foreclosure. So how big a problem is it for association... The managers, the president, the attorneys, and all of these people to foreclose on a home and then buy it? It's a fire sale.
Okay, here's the deal, and it happens a lot. See, these people you just named, you know, from managers to board members to attorneys, have the ability to see how big the mortgage is on the unit or on the home, right? So they target homes with very low or small mortgages. And they fine them for all kinds of, excuse my language, bullshit. And the people first say, well, they can't foreclose on me and this and this and that. You know, many of them are elderly. They think this can't happen. You know, when they grew up, it really couldn't happen because our society was a lot different at that time. So they foreclose on them, and then the managers, board members, and even attorneys auctioned the property at the auction. You know, they got the property with a very little mortgage, and they more or less quickly owned it free and clear. You know, that was pretty big business. You know, because, see, the law allows foreclosure even on little things. I don't know if you remember the case where an attorney tried to foreclose on an elderly lady who were 98 cents behind in
that was when Julio, that was when yes. Julio was going around the country talking to people. Yes, 98
right.
cents.
You know, but for 98 cents,
yes.
you know,
less
the person should have taken a dollar out of his purse and says, here it is, and forget about it, right? No. That's how bad these people are. And people have to understand that. And as long as they don't understand it, they put their own homes at risk.
You know, Jan, before we go on, I want to explain that, the 98-cent bit, because a lot of people were not involved at the time. A lot of new listeners have come on. But back a few years ago, Julio Urbina, who was the representative at the time, went around. He was on a task force, right?
Yes.
And you tell it, he went around the state.
Right, and you know, because we were trying to change the law in regards to foreclosures, and, you know, we had the weirdest cases for a few cent and a few dollar, you know, with just a big case made around here in Florida a few weeks ago. You know, they took a family's home away for $50, which the family didn't even know they owed. Right? That's how quickly you lose your home. You know, and when people call me, I tell them, look, you need to do something. You have to take action, or do you want to sleep under the bridge? I said, the best places here in Florida under the bridges are already taken. So where you want to go? Do something. Well, they can't do that. You know, law in this country wouldn't allow this to happen. Well, it allows a lot of things, believe me. You know, and we tried and tried to make it, but you have to understand one thing. There is a lot of money to be made through these associations. And the people making the money will defend their cash cows with everything they have. And they don't care about lying or cheating or whatever. They will try to protect the laws that give them the right to throw people out of their homes for a few pennies.
So what is the legislature doing? Why is it that the legislature is so obtuse? Why is it they go along with all of this stuff? Don't they realize that their job is to protect their constituents?
Right, but you have to understand one thing. This is the only country I know where you publicly and openly can bribe a legislator. You can give him, on a TV show, a big, huge campaign check. You know, if you would do that in any other civilized country, you and the legislator would share a cell. You know, but not here. And when you see these fundraisers and you see these guys coming in with shopping bags full of envelopes with checks, then you know why it is so difficult to change the law and to create owner-friendly laws. You know, people have to understand it. But I try to tell people, we don't have the money to bribe the legislators. We only have the number. And the best legislator is no good if he have a lot of campaign funds, but not the vote of the people. But here, you know, legislators are elected for kissing babies, for running a lot of commercials on TV. That's what they're being elected. If you ask many people, oh, you voted for this guy, do you know his history? Do you know his record? You know, I always say, do you know that Marco Rubio worked for Becker and Polyakov? No. Oh, God. You know, well, people, do your research. Look who you're voting for. That's just the way life works. And if you don't take care of your own problems, nobody else will.
So you're painting a very grim picture, and it's a picture that we've been painting and talking about all 17 years that this show's been on the air. And it happens not just in Florida, but it happens across the country. So it's time to put a stop to it.
Right, but see, the problem is actually that the owners, in many cases, are not willing to fight for their rights. You wouldn't believe how often I get calls from people and say, oh, you know, at the last board meeting, you know, our president said this and this and this, and isn't that against the law, and can he do that? And I say, look, no. You know, here is the law. This is how the law reads. So at the next board meeting, you will quote this provision and say, dear board president, you cannot do that. That is a violation of the existing laws, and so on. You know what I hear next? Oh, I wouldn't dare to say that. Can't you come to the meeting and tell him that?
Yeah, they're afraid.
You know, what should I say?
They're afraid you can't go to the meetings. You can't do
that. No, first, I can't go to the meeting. Second, I think people should have enough backbone to fight for their own rights if they know the rights. You know, we can gladly tell them what their rights are, but they have to stand up for themselves.
This sounds like so much science fiction, Jan. You and I know what's going on because we've been up to our necks in it. So we understand. But you tell someone and they're going to look at you and they're going to think, that's not going to happen. He's been smoking funny cigarettes. It's just not going to happen.
The funny cigarettes are now legally allowed.
And so we're in for some really bad times now. That's true. Amazing. See, that's what happens. A little money and you just throw it, you buy yourself a legislator and away we go. Condo termination.
No, but see, here's the issue. In former times, these firms hired a lobbying firm and the lobbying firm lobbied for new laws, right?
Right.
No, that's not the way it works anymore. They put their own attorneys in the legislature, so they circumvent lobbying firms, and they have the best deal in town.
They hire.
You know, we have the law firms here in Florida, it's community association law firms, who have senators, county commissioners, and you name it, they are working in the firm. They get paid by the firm. That's how bad it is.
It's
you know, the committee chair of our Senate committee is a senator who is an employee of the law firm of Becker and Polyakov.
Didn't somebody from Becker and Polyakov run against Julio?
Yeah.
And they had the money?
Yes.
Because for those of you who don't know, Julio was probably actually the only legislator I knew who really and truly cared about the people and his constituents. And he said, I will do everything in my power to turn this around. And I believed him. I mean, I've met him, but you worked very closely.
He's still working hard on it.
He's still working hard on it, and he's still, yeah, he's been on. But he's the only one I know of. And he was calling you at night and working on all of this stuff and trying to get the information, not from the association industry, but actually from the people and the people who knew what was going on and the people who were working to try and protect the rights of the homeowners. So yeah, tell me about condo termination. What's the deal there?
Well, the condo determination, you know, first of all, the bill should have never passed in the first place in 2008. You know, how can it be that somebody is losing their home because the majority of the units is owned by a developer and he decides to terminate the condominium and that's just it? You know, I mean, that's just ridiculous. And so they now, over the years, they have made the percentage needed bigger and bigger and bigger. It's still there. And in some cases, when it's an old building, you know, some old buildings are not worth repairing. So there it would be good. But it happens to places where people or developer or investment firms sneak into the communities, buy under different names, units, and so on, until they have a certain percentage, and then kick the other people out. In former times, they could do it by just paying the day value of the unit, which sometimes didn't even cover the mortgage, meaning the people left with less money than they owed as a mortgage, meaning they didn't have a home and a unit anymore, but they still had owed the bank money from the mortgage. You know, and that's this is plainly ridiculous. And you know, this is what this association system has turned to, in a money-making machine for all the people. At the expense of the owners who think they bought a home for their family and can live there hopefully happily ever after, which they mostly can't. You know, people then say, oh yeah, you know, it's just a small number. You know, no. Statistics have shown that 15% of all associations are year for year involved in serious litigation. You know, that's a huge number. And it shows that the system plainly doesn't work. You know, my mom owns in Germany what would be called here a condo. The building was built in 73. Guess what? They never had a lawsuit. And there are 360 units in that building. You know, so why is it here? Because the system that was created in this country plainly doesn't work. And people have to understand it. But, you know, you can't tell them, oh, don't buy into an association. There are no other options.
There are no options. There are no options.
No.
That's a huge...
In the condo, there sure is no option. And in homeowners association... You know, I had to move 60 miles south to find a lot that was not encumbered by an association.
But you know what, Jan? You go to Europe where you have older cities like your city, Hamburg. You go to London. You go to Paris. You go to all of the older cities where the buildings were built properly. They were not built out of cardboard and scotch tape and wrapped in plastic.
Especially in the hurricane area.
You know... I think anybody buying anything deserves to buy something that's well built. And they go, oh, well, it's too expensive. Really. But But look at the buildings. Look at the European capital cities, and look at the buildings that would now be considered condos that people have bought and have lived in for centuries, not a few years, but centuries, and there's never been an association. There's never been anything formal there. It's the people get
associations
together.
Associations actually in Germany are illegal.
And you've said that. And I don't know if that's necessarily true anywhere else, but I think that's a good thing. But it's worked. So now they're looking at the outside building. They're building some cheap piece of garbage that sort of suggests or resembles what they think, their interpretation of these beautiful, beautiful old buildings. And then they create this absolute mess that people have to deal with. And they tell them, oh, it's a walkable community. You can walk to the grocery store. All it sells is milk and butter, but that's okay. You can still walk there.
When I couldn't walk and drive, our friend Julio suggested that I move into a condo here in Daytona Beach, newly built, and it's very nice and has shops downstairs where I can go with the elevator. And I said, honestly, being German, I don't want to buy into World War III.
But what I want to do is I want to get back into the bill and debit cards. There's a provision in here for debit cards.
Yeah, no more use of credit and debit cards. The reason there is no proper statement, no proper accounting what the credit cards are being used for. It's very, very difficult. And they canceled it altogether.
So associations in Florida may not have debit cards and may not have credit cards.
Right, which is absolutely correct.
Okay.
Because, see, all you get is a statement at the end of the month saying, you bought for $85 at Lowe's and you bought for $385 at Best Buy and so on and so on and so on, and that's all. So there is no proof what this bill actually was used for, what was really bought. What happened a lot, and there was a lot of accusations, that board members and even managers used the credit cards to buy themselves a new computer. So who could prove it? Nobody, because there was no real bill of sales. If you pay for it with a check, you have a proper bill, you put the copy of the check to the bill, you put it in your financial records, and everybody knows what the payment was for. Credit card and debit cards more or less avoid it. You get nowadays, for most of them, you get your statements on the internet and it does say nothing. Doesn't even tell you what you bought.
I remember when I was on the board, I had the manager get all the bills out. I wanted to see what we had. And I invited everyone in the room at the meeting to come, anybody who wanted to help me go through that. And we found grocery store bills. And said, "Kitty Chow."
Yeah.
And we're looking at, we went through these bills, and we're looking, "Cat Chow? Kitty Chow?" I mean, the association doesn't have a cat. Why are we buying Kitty Chow, for heaven's sakes? Oh, well, I went to buy stuff for the meeting, and I picked up some Kitty Chow, but I put my money in there. You know what? That was a small thing, but it happens all the time. So that's good. So
Small things add up.
Absolutely.
If you do it often enough.
Oh, absolutely.
And 3 years later, you find a billing for a monthly credit card statement for $26,000, right?
Yeah.
You know what? You can never check if the guy didn't make a cruise, paying for a cruise.
Yep, that's true. That's very.
Because
true.
Nowadays you buy everything online. You book everything online, so it goes on the credit card, and a few months later, nobody knows anymore what's going on and what happened there. And when you ask, oh, well, here's a statement from the credit card company. That's all I have is a financial record.
All right, we're running out of time. I want to go through a couple more of these things. Term limits.
Okay.
Board members cannot serve more than four consecutive two-year term limits. That's 8 years.
But here comes the attorney. It doesn't say anything if you only serve one-year terms. You can serve forever.
Huh? That's
what the attorneys make out of it.
If you serve for... You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. That's actually in writing.
So that's how they're circumventing that one, huh?
Yeah, well, they have a lot of circumvents going and more or less... See, they couldn't defeat the bill in Tallahassee. Now they're trying to defeat it or to defeat the provisions by teaching the bad guys how to circumvent the... now existing laws. That's the way it works.
How about changing that to, you know, a grand total, no more than...
We will, but it can't be done before next year.
Yeah, no, I understand.
The bill needs a few changes. Okay. There's no question asked, and because the bill was initially filed with a lot of emotion, you know, there were a lot of angry people working on this bill. The sad thing is that most of these people were angry, lost a lot of money, but didn't have the legal knowledge to really come up with wording that would
stick.
That's
a problem. That's a big problem, yeah.
We, in the end, tried to make a few changes, but, you know, we only have 8 weeks session here in Florida, and we have a lot of bills, believe me.
Yeah.
So... in the end, the question was, are we willing to change it and lose the bill, or do we let it pass and work on the, on betterment next year? So we choose the latter.
Yeah, no. Recalls, now effective immediately, no due process provided, although language has been left in the statute that will apparently... That apparently allows the board, okay, that needs to be fixed, to file for recall arbitration. Very confusing and needs to be fixed next year.
Yes, definitely, because I like the idea of making a recall immediately effective, but there has to be some safeguard to show that really the necessary number of recalls had been provided. You know, if you want to disempower the board immediately because they were creating all kinds of problems, taking out million-dollar loans from Banco Popular or something like that, you know, that's what we heard a lot. that's fine, but the problem really is it can be used by the bad guys to throw out a good board, create for 2-3 months havoc, and then being told, oh, your recall wasn't valid, you know, so you're gone again. You know, but the havoc they created can't be reversed. You know, so it is very dangerous. You know, I think a recall should be effective immediately by just telling the board you can't do anything, you know, you can't make any financial decisions or something that would do damage to the ownership, you know, but just making a recall without looking at the documents has lots of dangers.
Yeah, and we've got a few more things here, but we just don't have the time to get into them. Addresses, conflicts and arbitration and purchasing units at foreclosure, conflicts of interest. Would you come back and let this, give this a couple of months to start working and see what kinds of changes have been made and then come back and report on it? And what needs to be changed?
Well, the changes that will be made will not be made before next spring at the next legislative session.
No, I understand. But you're going to run into things that you're going to say, all right, that's not working. We need to change that. So I just want to get this information out there so that anybody in any state working on this has an idea of what to do and what not to do.
Well, so, you know, anybody who is really interested from other states who doesn't know it yet can go to our website, and it's on the homepage is a big article that the bill was approved by the governor. And there you can find the whole text of the bill and with some explanations and so on. So that, that might be helpful
for people who
would like to see what can be done and should be done.
Right, and that's ccfj.net, right?
Correct, yes.
Jan, thank you so very much. Thanks for
joining us.
You're
very welcome. You take care.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.